David Hawkins is the senior editor of CQ and Roll Call, author of Hawkins Here blog and column. He's been covering Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. CQ, by the way, is the Bible of anybody who wants to know anything about Congress. David, we're pleased that you're with us as always. So let me ask you this. You've recently done a report on the wealth of Congress. Can you tell us something about it?
Sure thing. Roll Call, CQ and Roll Call, one company that has sort of two different publications. Roll Call, CQ is more about the policy of Congress. Roll Call is more about the politics and the people of Congress. Roll Call has been looking at the wealth of Congress going back to 1990. We did our most recent report just in the last couple of weeks. It shows that members of Congress have gotten are richer than you and me by a lot. And have gotten richer than you and me by a significant amount in the last couple of years.
Now, Congress is pretty good compared to the New York State Legislature. There are some pretty strict rules. You can't make outside income, but somehow they do make out.
So you can't make, that's right, you cannot make essentially much earned income outside of your salary. $174,000 a year, supposed to be definitely a full-time job. Doctors who are members of Congress can practice a little bit of medicine, but if you're a lawyer, you can't practice the law. If you're in the financial services world, you can't do that. There are very strict rules about this. It doesn't prevent members of Congress from making unearned income from investments, and this is where most of their riches come from. A bunch of them came to Congress rich already. More of the ones that we found who are the super rich in Congress are people who came to Congress rich and still got richer. There aren't too many cases that we've found of people who came into Congress poor and have suddenly become rich. There are a few who presumably had real good investment advice. But in general, how you come to Congress is how you remain in Congress. There are a lot of what's changed in the last couple of years, several years, is that Congress used to be, the rich in Congress used to be disproportionately people who were from old money or from, who came to Congress from as heirs to rich fortunes. You know, there's a guy named Fred Upton from Michigan who's the heir to the Whirlpool fortune, and a guy named Rodney Frelinghuysen from New Jersey who is the heir to the Procter & Gamble fortune. There's Joe Kennedy III, whose grandfather, of course, was famously pretty rich for all kinds of reasons. The inherited wealth roster in Congress has shrunk over time and been replaced by a lot of self-made people, mostly Republicans. An odd number of them are car dealers. Six of the richest 50 members of Congress are Republican automobile dealers. So it's changed over time. The classic Republican model of the guy who, mostly guy, a few women who went into business, made a killing, and then decided to go into public service really comes through in this Wealth of Congress study.
Okay, now I want to ask you about this to-do about the census. It's the famous question on the census, and I now want to ask you to explain to everybody why the census, when it comes to congressional districts, is so important.
Gosh, well, we'll do your basic civics 101, which is that's why the census was written into the Constitution. The census is actually a part of the Constitution. It says that every 10 years, they should enumerate the population of the whole country. That is what is used to apportion House seats among the states. The House has 435 members. That's not written in the Constitution. That's just something. That's a number that Congress itself decided after the House kept growing and growing and growing from the 1790s into the early 20th century. That Congress itself said, "Well, we got 435 people in the House now. That's about right. That's about the right number. So from here on out, it's going to be a zero-sum game. And after every census, every 10 years." The states that are growing fast get more seats, and the states that aren't growing so fast or are shrinking have to give up seats. So, of course, since World War II, there's been an enormous switch in the population of this country. What I call the rise of air conditioning has changed the political map of the entire country. States have left the Rust Belt. Congressional seats have steadily left the Rust Belt and moved to the Sun Belt. New York itself has lost, even the New York now has still the fourth largest congressional district, congressional delegation in the country. It's way down from what it used to be. New York and Pennsylvania used to be the world beaters when it came to power in Congress. Now that's California, Texas, and Florida. All that is because of the census counting the number of people. So when you add the question about the number that the Trump administration is going to add, are you a citizen of the United States? The widespread expectation, I guess, you can't prove it until it happens because they didn't do any testing about this. The widespread expectation is that a lot of people who are not legally in this country are not going to answer the census. They're going to be scared that they're going to be found out, that is going to actually make a real difference in some states gaining or losing seats. New York could be one of them. New York's already on course to lose one seat. It could lose a second. Illinois, same thing. It's already on course to lose one seat. It could lose a second seat. Rhode Island, on the cusp of losing. It's only got two seats, Rhode Island. It's on the cusp of, because it hasn't grown very fast, of going down to one seat. There is actually a considerable Latino population in Providence. If even a few hundred of them don't answer the census form, that's almost going to guarantee that Rhode Island goes down to being what we call an at-large state, states that have actually, even though they get two senators, they only get one House member.
So real fast, because we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to ask you about whether you think that the wall will get funded by the Republican Congress in the dimensions that this president wants.
No, I do not. I think this spring was the high watermark for that maybe happening. The Republicans were only able to come up with a small bit of money that might be called wall money. The Democrats have enough strength in Congress. They have the filibuster. They have a considerable number of votes in Congress. They are going to prevent the wall from being built.
The next question is the 2018 midterms. We have 2 minutes on this. David, the polls that I've been reading are showing that the Democrats are favored over the Republicans in terms of the whole United States, except that when it comes to the gerrymander, it ain't going to be a direct Democratic vote, small d.
That's right. So you're right. So the overall polling question, do you want a Democrat or a Republican to represent you in Congress? Democrats are doing real well in that. But as you just said, that's a national poll. It's a national question. Doesn't take into account how your congressional district is drawn. And the back of the envelope calculation is, unless the answer, do you want a Democrat or a Republican, is more than about a 6 percentage points difference, it can't be seen as a way to predict the outcome of the district by district races in the fall. That having been said, there are way more Republican seats that the Democrats have a solid shot at than the other way around. Right now, my colleagues at CQ Roll Call think that the Democrats are, in a good position to take back the House, that they're certainly competitive and more than the 23 seats that they need, and the trend seems to be going their way.
And I got 30 seconds. And the Senate?
Senate is a totally different game. The Senate is... The Republicans have 51 seats, Democrats 49. So the Democrats have a tough road to hoe because they are defending many, many more seats than the Republicans, including 10 of them in states that Trump carried and 5 of them in states that Trump carried by more than 20 points. So it's a tough road to hoe.
Always love having David Hawking, senior editor of CQ and Roll Call, and author of Hawking's Here, blog and column, covered Congress since 1995 for CQ. You are terrific, David. What an expert. What a pleasure to have you. We'll come back the next time. Let's talk some more.
All right, Alan. Thank you.